Our scripture portion this morning comes to us from Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. And we'll be reading from verses 1 through 7. Exodus chapter 17. This is the word of the Lord. Receive it as such. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt? To kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I want to begin this morning by asking a very simple question. Maybe it's too simple of a question, you might think, but ask it of yourself. Who do you believe that the Lord is? Who do you believe that the Lord is? It's a very simple question, I think you would agree. But it's one of those questions that has deep ramifications for our spiritual walk and our spiritual life. As we walk through the pilgrimage, the Bible describes the Christian life as a pilgrimage. As we walk through this pilgrimage, we are led by the Lord, our God. His word is a light to our feet, a lamp to our path. Who is this Lord? How you answer that question is going to very much change the way you walk with this Lord. Israel's coming out of Egypt. Pharaoh called himself a god. That's how the Egyptians perceived of their king Pharaoh. He was God. He was king. He was ruler. He was authority. Now God has come. He has heard the people's cry. He has called them out of that land. No longer will they be under the God King Pharaoh, but under the true Lord of heaven and earth, who made a covenant with their ancestors, with Abraham. But who is this God? They have a long journey ahead of them until they get to the promised land. Who is this God who has called them out into the wilderness, who will be with them for over 40 years? Is he like Pharaoh? Pharaoh who took straw out of the bricks that they were going to have to build, who put weight upon their back, who wasn't forgiving, who wasn't merciful, who wasn't just, who wasn't gracious. Is that who the Lord is? Christians can believe this, I'm sure you can agree. It can reflect in their prayers. It can reflect in their confession and repentance, not believing the Lord is just, kind, good, faithful. The book of Exodus, we can think of the book of Exodus as one giant display of the Lord's character. Very early on in the book, when Moses is called, Remember the story. He's called to the burning bush on the mount of the Lord. And the Lord says, I am who I am. Israel did not know me by the name the Lord. They knew me as God Almighty. But now they will know me by the name the Lord. And you can look at the book of Genesis, and we do see some of the fathers calling the Lord by the name the Lord, all uppercase letters. What the Lord is saying is they didn't know the content of that name. They didn't know me as the covenant God like Israel will. And how will he demonstrate who he is? By demonstrating who he is. By saving them. By bringing them out of Egypt. By his great wonderful works of old, which we are confronted with in our text. And through this text, we get to see who the Lord our God is. The Lord our God who will be with us in this week to come. Who we'll walk with. Who do you believe the Lord is? Our passage shows us our theme. The Lord is faithful to unworthy people. And it shows us broadly two things we'll see. It shows us how little we deserve. Second, he shows us just how good he is. How little we deserve and just how good he is. And so up until this point in the book of Exodus, God has been delivering Israel. Genesis 15, God makes a promise to Abraham that he will deliver his descendants, though they are oppressed in Egypt. Now this is happening. The Lord has brought the people out. They're crossed the Red Sea in Exodus 14. Moses' song has been sung in Exodus 15. And then in Exodus 19, after our text, in a couple chapters, they will get to Mount Sinai. And we know the significance of Sinai. There the Lord will make his covenant with his people. God's plan, begun even in the garden, to dwell with a people in a land, will take on a new step. Because now there will be laws, there will be a way to live. The promised land lies in the future. The picture of the new heavens and the new earth, that all awaits. And that begins to take shape in Exodus 19. And then Exodus 20, of course, where we read the law from. But there's a gap. Exodus 15, 14 and 15, the crossing of the Red Sea. Exodus 19, they get to Sinai. They're not brought immediately there. They go through the wilderness. They take a long way around to get to Mount Sinai. From Exodus 15, the second half of it, and Exodus 16, and then our text, we see there's a time of testing. That's the word. Time of testing. Three times of testing involving food and drink. Exodus 15, the second half of it, records the issue of water in the place called Marah. Bitter. Bitter water. The Lord brings the people through the Red Sea to a place where there is no water except bitter water. And the people grumble. Who is the Lord? He has already begun to show himself. He's the God of water. He turned the Nile to blood. He just opened up the Red Sea. And the people grumble about water to the God who has promised that he will provide for them. To the people who have a covenant. People do not believe. The people doubt. They stumble and they fail the trial. Strike one. Exodus 16, the story of the manna. Now the issue is food. Will God provide? Very practical question. One of those simple questions of the Christian life. Will God provide for me as he promised? Will he give his daily bread that I need? And the Lord promises manna from heaven. Literally, manna means what? What is it? Angels' food. Dropped down from heaven every morning for the people of God who need it. But there's a law. Observe the Sabbath day. Gather twice as much on Friday so that on Saturday you don't gather, so that you observe the Sabbath. But Israel doesn't do this. It's a testing of trust. Will you believe that I will provide for you? Israel doesn't. They grumble. Strike two. Now our passage. The third test. Again, back to the issue of water. All the congregation of the people moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, but there was no water for the people to drink. The same test. Will God provide? We ask ourselves this question all the time, don't we, when it's very difficult in our lives, whether it's a financial problem, whether it's a relationship problem, whatever the problem might be. God has shown himself to be who he is countless times before. Countless times before. We have it in the scriptures. He has manifested who he is. What have we seen? What is God's track record? Put it more colloquially, what do the receipts say? Faithful. 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 Will Israel keep the third test? Will they sustain it? Will they pass? No. They don't. Our passage says they quarreled with Moses in verse 2. And said, give us water to drink. And Moses said, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord? Testing the Lord. This is a time of testing for Israel, for the people of God. What is in them? This people I have hewn out of the bowels of Egypt, that I've taken out of the land of Goshen. What is in them? Not trust. Not faith like it should be. Scattering to the wind, even though I am with them, testing the Lord. But notice the word quarrel as well. Israel quarrels with Moses. Moses, the mediator of the covenant, sent by God with a commission, who on behalf of God and with the Spirit of God has worked so many of these wonderful works of God. He is the visual representation of God, in a sense we can think of it, to the people. He represents the authority of God. He has the staff with which he struck the Nile, by which the miracle God had done was done. And they quarrel with him. It's a legal term there. We can think of it as a lawsuit. They're bringing God and his mediator up on charges, accusing him. Filing a complaint with HR, as though this God has something that he's done wrong. But has he? No, he hasn't. The people quarrel and accuse Moses of treason. Have you brought us up out of this wilderness to kill us? And in the Hebrew, it's even more emphatic because each person is saying, I. Have you come to kill me and my children and my livestock? Accusing the Lord of malintent, of lying, of deception. Beloved, what we should see in this is what the character of doubt looks like. It's not innocent. It's vicious, even malicious. And we could look and say, oh, well, this was just Israel then. But that's not how Scripture interprets this passage later. If you'll turn with me to Psalm 95, we read that as our call to worship, you'll see how the fathers later looked on this event. They didn't view this as just a one-time event, but as a depiction of what is a temptation to people in every generation. We normally read verses 1 through 7 as a call to worship. That's a very common call to worship. But right afterward are these words. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah and as on the day at Massah in the wilderness when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. Later on, the psalmist warns generations to come, even us. If you have heard the word of the Lord today, if his word of salvation is near, do not harden your hearts, distrusting the Lord. That this sin is doable now. That's our lived reality, isn't it? What has the Lord promised to you in your baptism? What has He shown you in the Lord's table? What has He preached to you every Sunday? His grace and His faithfulness, His abundant provision, that He will care for you, that He will give you your daily bread, that He will be a Father to you, a loving Father, full of grace, mercy, and truth. How could we doubt this? How can we not trust this God? Our passage shows us what's in us. Doubt. Weakness. Not faith where it should be. But it also shows us the character of God, returning to our initial question, who is the Lord? Because now a decision needs to be made. Three strikes. This is how we normally operate. Three strikes and you're out. And Moses goes to the Lord and he says, what shall I do with this people? In verse 4, they are almost ready to stone me. They're almost ready to put me to death, in other words. What shall I do? Shall the Lord destroy Israel? Or shall He keep them? What would you do? Shall the Lord undo the work He has already begun? Building up this nation of a kingdom of priests to worship Him. With all their faults and all their weakness, should He destroy that, or should He continue bringing them to Mount Sinai to reaffirm His covenant to a people that have shown themselves so often to be unfaithful? What would you do? We don't know what's in Moses' heart, but the text does show us what was in God's heart. Verse 5, the Lord responds. And the Lord said to Moses, pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel. Take some of the elders in charge of teaching the youth, in charge of remembering these things. Take some of them along. They will be witnesses. They will see. They will remember. This will be a memorial for all Israel to remember later on. Take elders with you, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. In other words, take that staff with which you have worked salvation for Israel so before, through which you did the miracles before. Take it, because you're going to use it again. You showed who I was before, Moses. You will show who I am again. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink. Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Israel will not be struck. Israel, which has failed the trial now three times, will not be struck. People with little faith will not be broken. Their little candle of faith will not be snuffed out. The Lord will be merciful. The Lord will be gracious again and again. Just like before, He will provide. He will provide. Instead of wrath, the people receive mercy. Doubters do not receive chastisement. They receive grace. People who do not trust as they should receive the Lord's mercy. Who is the Lord to you? The people, we're told, doubted. Is the Lord among us or not? That's how the story ends. The people quarreled because they tested the Lord by saying, is the Lord among us or not? And that isn't a question about, is He omnipresent? Is He everywhere? That's not the question. The question is He in the camp of Israel for the people? Is He for them or against them? Has He brought them out to deceive them, to confuse them, to get them killed? Has he brought them along this path of the faith's walk for the end that they would be destroyed? Do you believe that? That the Lord is playing with you? Or is he for you? The Lord shows doubting and faithless people who he is. And when we hear this, we cannot help but think of the greater salvation which the Lord has done for us in our Lord Jesus Christ. The better than Moses. Moses would ascend the mount for Israel to stand in the scary cloud. Our Lord hung on the cross in the midst of darkness for us. Our Lord revealed the Father to us. He's the answer to the question, who is the Lord? Philip, his disciple, asked him, show us the Father. Jesus responded, it is enough that you see me. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Put another way, who is the Lord to you? Who is Jesus Christ? Who came into the world for sinners like you and I, who do not trust as we should, who do not believe as we should. What have we seen in Jesus Christ? We've seen a rock who was struck, and water flowed out from his side. Sinners not struck, but another in their place so that they may be saved, so that they may be forgiven, so that grace may overflow for those who do not trust. Who is the Lord to you? The Lord who gave you Jesus Christ, who died in your place and poured out the overflowing waters of eternal life which well up in a person and flow out. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Lord that the Exodus is pointing to. Beloved, who is the Lord to you? We who doubt so often, we who do not trust so often, we who even accuse the Lord of faithlessness when things seem so difficult and so hard. Who is the Lord to you, congregation? We have seen him in our passage, faithful, trustworthy, bringing his people to the better land and giving them everything they need along the way. God will not abandon his people, but who will accomplish his purpose to dwell with his people in the better land, the new heavens and the new earth. That is made certain. Did Jesus not come and tabernacle amongst us? Has he not promised the new heavens and the new earth to those who love him? And if we doubt, and if we despair of who this God may be in times of doubt and trial, times of temptation and fear, we can know this. Faithful. We have seen it in Jesus Christ, whose side poured out water for us. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father and gracious Lord, you are gracious. We have seen that. Heal our weakness. Forgive our sin. Renew our faith and cause it to grow. May we never put you to the test, but trust you completely, relying, Lord, completely upon what you have done.